Well, the strains of almost everything that's been said at Human Concerns and our songs really come together in the fabric of what I want to talk about this morning, which is myth and history and hope. Thanksgiving is surely as much myth as it is history. It is a promise that was given many years ago, and the promise was made in that moment when two groups shared. And it was not a promise that was kept, and it was not a promise that was renewed, in my view, nearly enough, but it is a promise that we still ourselves have the power to help to keep. When two groups came together to share a meal, it was what it was, and it gave birth to a dream. It gave birth to something that could be replicated maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, maybe someday, if we ever really learn, we can replicate it every day. I don't know. Maybe it's like a spiritual experience. I believe there are people that have them and stay connected. For me, my connections are on dial-up. They're not on cable. They get broken, and it's hard to stay connected to our dreams and to the good experiences and to our hopes. Our Thanksgiving story is much of it myth, and some of it just misunderstood. Apparently, historians tell us that what they really feasted on was lobster, it being New England, and we misunderstand that because lobster was considered a kind of a junk fish that, well, nothing personal, but a junk fish that, good, you have the poltergeist. I wish we could just get quietgeist. Anyway, it wasn't a cell phone. That first Thanksgiving was what it was. And our stories come down, and we idealize them, and we mythologize them. But not all myths are bad. There are, yes, toxic myths of racial superiority. There are myths of conspiracies. There are all kinds of myths. But some of our myths are ennobling, enriching, and inspiring. And that it was not continued is a tragedy. That it happened is one brief shining moment that is still alive to touch us today if we are willing to look behind the white sails and the beginning of the shopping season and the football games and the celebrations of wretched excess. The Pilgrims, as the Native Americans, understood that plenty meant enough, not too much. And maybe we need to get back to that sense of what it is that we need to keep body and soul alive and enrich our lives, as opposed to overstuffing our senses in a way that makes us senseless and sated. Well, I can't talk about Thanksgiving in that one brief shining moment without acknowledging another brief shining moment that was known as Camelot that ended 40 years ago yesterday with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It was a moment that is seared in my generation, as the death of Roosevelt was in a previous generation, as the blowing up of the first space shuttle was to another generation, as the death of Bobby and Martin Luther King is also seared into people's hearts and souls and memories. No one of a certain age can forget where they were and what they were doing when they heard the news that JFK had first been shot and then died. I was coming out of a philosophy class at USC, and there were television trucks in the main quad, and they were there to cover the preparations for the silliness that is the USC-UCLA football game, even 40 years ago, as yesterday. And we were all gathered around it, listening for the feed, listening to hear what had happened. My first reaction, being an intelligent student of international relations and philosophy, was denial. It couldn't be happening. That no one could kill our president. This is America. We had killed Fidel Castro 30, 40 times within my memory. Before that, Stalin had died at least 10 or 15 times. And it was just a rumor, or so my soul wanted to believe. When it became clear that it was not a rumor, as we gathered around that truck, when I heard the voices of professional news people break and tear and began to understand the impact, and my system of denial began to crumble, I walked to the flagpole about 40 yards away and lowered the flag to half staff and went to class, where my professor told us, this is before anybody had been caught or captured, that it could have been anyone, and whoever it was didn't necessarily represent any other group or any great conspiracy. If it were a Muslim, if it were a Jew, if it were a Jesuit priest, those were his exact words, it wouldn't say anything greater than someone with more rage and too much firepower had managed to kill the President of the United States. 40 years later, we have our myths, some of them, I believe, toxic, involving very complicated conspiracies. I personally neither believe government's first story nor complicated conspiracies. They take too much intelligence and discipline to maintain. But what I am sure about is my continued sense of loss and of grief. And I wonder at that. This man that I didn't know, this man who, like the pilgrims, when examining the myth too carefully, we find those feet made of all too human clay. Those pilgrims were not the great religious liberals. They were looking for their own religious freedom. Kennedy's life, to some extent, was facade, and behind that facade of this handsome and happy man, there was politics, there was dealing, there was double dealing. Behind that happy facade of family, there was an all too real family. It was not perfect, and much of it was mythic. And yet, I still grieve. Maybe for my youth, I don't know, but I think rather I grieve for what he demanded of us. What I miss in most governments today, and maybe I miss in most religion today, is a demand to go beyond ourselves in our immediate self-interest, in our immediate gratification, a demand to sacrifice, to care deeply about something, deeply enough to give your time, to give your passion, and if necessary, to give your life to a vision of something that is greater. When talking about going to the moon, he said, not because it is easy, but because it is difficult. When asking people to ask, not what your country can do for you, but for what you can do for your country, remember this came out of the mouth of what we considered then a liberal regime, not a conservative regime that hated the idea of government. This was, let us give something, and many of us did. Many chose teaching, many chose social work, many went into Peace Corps and VISTA and wanted to give lives where service was our prayer. We were not a unique generation. I don't believe in that. I believe that generations are called or not called. The greatest generation was called to serve in World War II and responded. My generation was called and responded. And I think every generation will respond if something great is demanded of them. I think that we are, as Americans, as human beings, generous people who will give generously of our heart, of our substance, to things that we are called upon, that we can believe in, and that we believe can make a difference. That call to greatness and to real sacrifice as opposed to inconvenience, I find missing in our modern dialogue across the political spectrum. And this is not a political talk at all. The Kennedy story is part myth. But just as the pilgrims offered that moment of hope, that sense of mission and purpose and purposefulness offered a challenge to people, I don't despair that I don't hear it. I don't despair that we have tremendous problems in our country and in our world. I don't despair that we have to fight every generation for peace, for civil liberties, to see the humanity in others. And Kennedy reminded us of that. He said, peace and liberty are not won once and for all. And that is the good news. Every generation is called upon again to look at what we value, to look at what we care about, and to dedicate ourselves to its achievement, to fight anew for civil liberties. And we must. We will have to. It is not a choice. To fight again for a world where there is equity, where there is fairness, to try to make our values flesh in the world, in helping others. I too went to the Simon and Garfunkel concert, and I too was refreshed and renewed. I was happy that not everybody there looked like me. It was intergenerational. It went from people even older than I am to people as young teenagers, because the music spoke to them. There were the harmonies that blended and gave that intuition, that experience of the sum being greater than all of its parts. There was the rock and roll that had people up and moving and singing along and being joined together in an intergenerational community. And there were those words. There were those words that talked about finding meaning in our lives beyond just intellectual and abstract, that talked about civil liberties, that talked about the kind of America that we dreamed of 30 and 40 years ago and we still dream of. And it was a way to get batteries recharged and not simply sink into despair that whatever rights we thought we had won start eroding. Of course they do. That's why every generation has to pay attention. That's why every generation has to be involved and has to get recharged. It all counts. It all counts what we do and what we choose. And it is not a bad thing that we look behind the myth and see the humanity. It's not a bad thing that we understand myth for what it is, something that we can take and learn from and grow from and be renewed and refreshed by. It doesn't have to have been factual to have been true. That brief shining moment that we either remember or misremember from the pilgrims and the Native Americans sitting down, that is still a dream and a vision to inform and to inspire. What we believe we experienced during those Kennedy years, when someone born in that century, someone young and vigorous, had a dream that he shared with Martin Luther King, and a dream that was held up and inspired. The 60s began, not in 1960, but on November 22, 1963. They began with that death, and that death broke hearts. And from that were more assassinations and war and anti-war and rebellion and experimentation. And that's a cycle that we live through and that some didn't live through. Today, we're faced at another critical moment in the history of our nation, in the history of civil rights, civil liberties, war, and peace. Sometimes, whatever your side, you will despair of making your vision and your values flesh. But don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot for one brief shining moment that we believed was Camelot.